Concerned because I've seen Spencer flitting around school, happy as can be with all the newfound attention she's brought to herself. That is not the attitude of someone who regrets her behavior. Frankly, I'm at a loss as to why you've chosen to take someone like her under your wing. I felt embarrassed. Why did Spencer make this so difficult on herself? I babysat Spencer a long time ago, I explained. So I guess I feel some responsibility for her. She's definitely making some stupid choices, but she's a good girl, deep down. If Miss B understood me, she didn't show it. Wait, I forgot the most important book of all. She went to her shelf. This one is just for you, Natalie. I took it from her hands, unprepared for its weight. A girl graced the cover, smiling into the wind, a leather cap and goggles perched on the top of her head. The title was East to the Dawn, The Life of Amelia Earhart. I devoured this over my vacation. I think you and Amelia have a lot in common. Have you heard of the 99s? No. Well, Amelia founded the 99s as an organization just for female pilots. In fact, she became its first president. It helped legitimize the women who pursued such non-traditional careers, providing them with opportunities, strength in numbers, and all that. It completely reminds me of this girls' night. And, of course, I found the significance with the number 9 all too fitting. Thank you, Miss B. I'm proud of everything you're trying to do here, Natalie. I've always known you were special. Other girls your age, well, they get so silly over the boys. You, my dear, are fiercely independent. You've got a good head on your shoulders, and frankly, you give me hope that feminism won't die off with your generation. I smiled and pulled my book bag up onto my shoulders. It weighed about 1,000,000 pounds. Though, honestly, it felt nothing compared to the pressure behind Miss B's smile. Chapter 14. The following week, Spencer and I arranged to meet before school to finalize our plans for the girls' night and get our sign-up materials prepared. Autumn came, too. I divided up the readings from Miss B between the three of us with the instruction that we should look for inspiring quotes or messages we could give away to girls in the halls on slips of paper, like the ones in fortune cookies. Spencer bit the end of her pencil. Natalie, do you have a boyfriend? Autumn laughed, which pissed me off. I didn't like Autumn hinting at my inexperience and giving Spencer more opportunities to lord her expertise over my head. Anyway, it was none of Spencer's business. No, I don't, I said proudly. I thought for a moment how I could have shocked both Spencer and Autumn if I told them how Connor had been paying me attention. Ever since the bonfire night, I'd caught him watching me. Not that I cared. He was free to look at whomever he wanted, and I was free to ignore him. I bet you only date college guys. Spencer drew hearts instead of bullet points in her notebook. Some completely brilliant boy who's going to be a neuroscientist or a foreign policy advisor. He'll probably wear glasses, but not nerdy ones. The thin metal kind that models wear. Ooh, and I bet he's from somewhere overseas, like London. I could totally see you with a guy who has an accent. I put my pen down. I'm not discussing this with you, I said. But if I'd wanted to date anyone, he would have been exactly like the guy Spencer had just described, except not from London, Paris. And we would have spoken French to each other. After all, I'd been studying it for 3 years of high school. It had to come in handy for something. How about you, Autumn? Spencer went on. Do you have a boyfriend? Autumn's eyes went to the table. Oh, me? No. I shot Spencer a look to quit it, but unfortunately it didn't register. She turned her chair so that it faced Autumn. Okay, that makes absolutely no sense. I mean, Lisa Prince has a boyfriend and she's practically got vampire teeth. But you? You're one of the prettiest, nicest girls at this school. I don't understand how you aren't, like, a shoo-in for prom queen. I sort of have a history. What do you mean?
Autumn and I shared a grimace. Autumn didn't want to be my guest speaker at the girls' night, and I had to accept her decision. Still, a part of me hoped Autumn might open up to Spencer. Autumn took a deep breath and closed the book in front of her.
Do the words fish sticks mean anything to you?
Spencer looked utterly perplexed.
A disgusting food made only slightly less disgusting by ketchup?
Autumn smiled, and then she told Spencer her story. She said it frankly, almost without emotion. It was strange how controlled she suddenly seemed to be about the whole thing. Spencer was the exact opposite. Her smile sank lower and lower and lower.
So, the last guy you were with...
Spencer's question hung in the air. Autumn bit her lip and nodded.
It's fine. There's no way I'd have the grades to get into a good school if that whole thing hadn't happened. I'm probably better off. I mean, I know I am.
Autumn sounded only half convinced. I gave her arm a friendly pinch to make up the difference. Spencer had a different take on things.
No!
She cried.
Autumn, that's probably the worst thing you could have done. You shouldn't let one dumb guy make you feel bad about yourself. And closing yourself off from guys is completely unnatural. I mean, why else would teenagers be swimming in hormones if we weren't supposed to use them?
She gritted her teeth.
We should go hunt down Chad Rivington and cut off his balls.
I shook my head. Spencer was missing the point. Big time. There's not a single guy in this high school good enough for Autumn. For any of us, really.
Oh, I know I'm too good for any guy at this school, but that doesn't mean I can't still have fun with them in the meantime. Because what college guy is going to date me? Hello, I'm only 14 and I'm not looking to shack up with some pervert.
Autumn cracked up.
I don't think that's what Natalie meant, Spencer.
Spencer still wasn't getting it. I knew I had to pull out the big guns. I closed my book and turned to face her. Look. I never told you this because I didn't want to hurt your feelings, but I overheard Mike Domsky and the other guys saying some pretty nasty things about you after the Rostitute incident.
Natalie,
Autumn warned me. At first, Spencer didn't seem fazed.
Oh, yeah? Like what?
Well, someone called you a stripper, and I think James was the one who said that you weren't even that pretty. After Connor made it clear he wasn't interested in you, Mike claimed he'd easily get you to do stuff with him and said none of the other guys could touch you. I watched it all register on Spencer's face. It was one thing to hear what happened to Autumn, but there was no playing this off. I'm sure it was hard to know what people were saying about her behind her back, but my hope was that it would finally make her understand that how she was acting was just bringing trouble.
Unbelievable, she said. That's why Mike Domsky's been practically stalking me. He's always walking by my locker or bumping into me by accident. If he thinks for a second that he can lay claim on me, he's got another thing coming.
This, I felt, was the right attitude to have.
Look, we've got to get cracking if we're going to get everything ready for sign-ups. We've only got about an hour.
After we finished up the quotes, we made a list of activities for the girls' night. I'd gotten most of them off the internet and from the pamphlet Miss B had given me. It felt like things were coming together.
We're missing something, Spencer said, shaking out her curls. Something essential.
I gave our list a quick rundown, but it seemed good to me.
What? Fun, Natalie! There is absolutely nothing fun on this list!
I pointed to number 6.
What about the trust falls?
Spencer made a goofy face.
You want this to be full of girls from school, right? Well, then we need to give them a reason to spend Friday night with us rather than having a good time somewhere else.
I wanted to tell her that the girls' night was less about fun and more about learning, but Autumn cut me off.
Spencer's right, she said. It can be educational, but we need something entertaining, too.
Spencer twirled a curl around her finger.
I've got an idea.
I sighed, deeply. Then again, Spencer actually wanted to be involved. I knew I should encourage that.
Okay, shoot. Well, we used to do this thing at my old dance studio. We called it Sweatpants Dance. We'd invite all the girls from the studio for a dance party, but only girls, no boys allowed. Everyone would show up in sweatpants and tank tops, and you didn't have to worry about guys or looking good. One of the girls would DJ, and we'd play corny, embarrassing boy band music, and everyone just danced it out together for a couple of hours. We could do the same thing, only in our pajamas. Plus, we could kill a bunch of time that way.
Autumn clapped.
I love it!
They both turned to me to hear what I had to say. I smiled.
It's a great idea. Spencer, you're a genius.
Which was a little much, but I wanted to be encouraging. In response, Spencer surprised me.
I just want to say sorry for what happened on Pep Rally Day, she said, her tone suddenly serious.
You don't have to apologize to me, I told her, and was happy that it felt true.
Yeah, I do. Because of my stunt, we've been forced into this punishment.
This isn't punishment, I clarified. Suspension is a punishment. This is a summit, a chance to...
Whatever you want to call it, I'm sorry. And, Natalie, I really do appreciate what you did in Principal Hurley's office, standing up for me like that.
That's what friends do for each other. It was the first time I'd said those words to someone other than my best friend, but I meant them just as much. We set up a table in the main hallway with a sign-up sheet and a bunch of literature and inspiring quotes by female leaders. Spencer insisted on making her iPod play pop songs sung only by female artists. A nice touch, for sure. People started showing up for school, and a bunch of girls stopped by our table right away. The big draw seemed to be Spencer's pajama dance party idea, but a few girls seemed to really like the quote Spencer and the rest of the Rostitutes handed out, too. In about 15 minutes, we had 30 girls signed up. It was going really, really well. Until Mike Domsky grabbed a pencil and tried to add his name to one list.
Put that down, I told him. Honestly, you had to talk to Mike like he was a 3-year-old.
Why? Shouldn't boys be allowed too? If you exclude us, isn't that sexist?
I tried to take the pencil back, but he pulled it away.
Oh, I get it. This girls' night is more of a vagina-thon. No dicks allowed.
I wanted to spit back some biting retort, but Spencer beat me to it. She put her hands down on the table and leaned into Mike's face.
That's right, Mike. No dicks, no dickheads, no cocks, no penises, no wieners, no wee-wees, no boners, no dongs, no dillweeds, no scrotums allowed, which I think are all adjectives used to describe you.
She yanked the pencil right out of his hand.
So, yeah, looks like you're not invited.
Mike's response? He gave Spencer the finger and walked away.
Point Spencer, I whispered and drew a line in the air.
Trust me, I know how to deal with guys like Mike, she said. In fact, I think I'm going to break him, just for fun. Just because I can.
I threw my arm around her. Not because I cared about what kind of psycho mind game she could play on Mike Domsky, but because Spencer was finally listening to me.
Chapter 15.
There's no way Spencer actually wears that to sleep. That's what I thought, anyway, when she appeared in a navy and green plaid baby doll nightgown, with white ribbon trim where the hem grazed her thighs. Her wool coat hung open, belt ends skimming the gym floor, as if she'd worn a party dress too pretty to keep under wraps.
It could have maybe passed for one, if not for the pillow puffing out from under her arm and the sleeping bag dragging behind her.
Natalie! She squealed. I made the most awesome playlist for tonight.
She did a little shimmy out of her coat, which caused one of the delicate spaghetti straps to fall off her shoulder.
Got me checked off, right, Miss B?
Spencer Biddle, Miss B recited from her folding chair, her pencil scratching against a clipboard. How could we have missed you? I felt like Miss B had made the joke for my benefit, but really, I couldn't laugh. Spencer scurried over to meet up with the rest of her friends. There were about 50 other girls present, plus the Rostitutes and a few other student council girls that I guilted into coming. I had hoped more would have signed up, but I guess Mike Domsky scared them away with his disgusting jokes. Still, it was a halfway decent turnout.
All right, Natalie, Miss B said. I think you can get started. I'm going to be in my office for a while, catching up on some paperwork. Plus, I think if I'm not around, the girls might be more inclined to open up and discuss things.
Great. I'll grab Spencer and...
Natalie, I'd like you to be more of the facilitator tonight. I know Spencer helped in the planning, but this is your wonderful idea, and you have the leadership experience. I don't want tonight devolving into some tittering sleepover. You've got actual, important work to do.
I nodded.
Sure, of course.
I walked across the gym to where everyone was mingling. It felt strange to be in pajamas at school, especially because, unlike Spencer, I wore what I actually slept in. My dad's old hospital scrubs used to be maroon, but they'd turned a lighter pink, having been washed so many times. I also had on a white tank, an oversized hooded zip-up, and my slippers. I paced the bleachers and gave the girls a chance to quiet down.
Okay. Hey, everyone. Thanks for coming tonight. We've got a lot of snacks and munchies that we'll tear into later, but I wanted to go over a few things first.
I took a deep breath and made sure to smile. That's when Spencer stepped right in front of me.
I have a statement I'd like to make before we get started. I want everyone to feel like this is a safe place for us to talk about what's been going on, to share our feelings and thoughts. This should be a judgment-free zone.
I smiled over at Miss B, who headed out of the gym. Of course, Spencer, that's a great point. I pulled Spencer close and whispered, Why don't I get things started and then you can take over? Spencer looked confused and maybe a little wounded. I nudged my chin toward an empty seat in the bleachers.
Don't worry.
Spencer sat next to Autumn, begrudgingly.
I think the perfect place to begin tonight is to discuss what happened in the senior hallway 2 weeks ago.
I'd barely finished before Spencer's hand shot straight up. I stared over her fingertips.
I expect lots of you have different thoughts and opinions, and I want to make sure we hear from everyone.
Spencer started bouncing on her butt, waving her hand wildly. The more I tried to ignore her, the harder she tried to be noticed.
Spencer, why don't you start us off?
Spencer stood up and faced the crowd.
I have to say, I felt shocked by people's reactions to the t-shirts. I mean, why aren't girls allowed or encouraged to show their sexuality?
I don't think what you were doing was sexy, I told Spencer as gently as I could.
You were trying to get attention.
Spencer smiled.
See? That's what I mean. That's what we should be talking about tonight. Boys can mess around and do whatever they want to without consequence. But not us girls. We're not allowed to have sexual needs.
Sexual needs? Are you serious? You're 14.
I don't know what my age has to do with anything.
Spencer pursed her lips.
I'm sensing a lot of negativity coming from you, Natalie. Isn't this supposed to be a judgment-free zone?
Okay, let's all calm down. Which sounded ridiculous because Spencer and I were the only ones getting heated.
Look, I don't do things I'm not comfortable with. I am always in control. And anyway, what right is it for anyone else to tell me what I can and can't do with my body? I won't be villainized because I happen to like being sexual. I'm not going to be embarrassed. It seems that this school has a real problem with that sort of thing.
Spencer gave a pointed look at Autumn, which everyone noticed.
Forcing girls to be ashamed for doing the things that come natural to them. It's a ridiculous double standard, and we should all, frankly, tell anyone who judges us to screw off.
A couple of girls nodded, including Marcy Cooperstein, who was sitting directly behind Autumn. I watched as Marcy reached out and gave Autumn's shoulder a little squeeze. Autumn turned around, surprised. The two girls smiled at each other, and I wanted to throw up. Melissa Sanchez raised her hand, and Spencer called on her.
My brother found out I gave a hand job to one of his friends, and now he won't even look at me.
Her chin started to quiver.
See what I mean? Spencer said. That's horrible, because I bet your brother wishes a girl would give him a hand job. But because you're his sister, you're dirty.
I caught Autumn's eye and mouthed, help. After all, she was sitting next to Spencer. If she could grab her hand and pull her down, do something. Autumn saw me. I know she did, but all she did was look up at Spencer and smile. My control was slipping away. I quickly announced,
now that we've got that out of the way, let's start tonight off by breaking into groups. I put some women's magazines out on the tables. I'd like everyone to tear out any positive female images and negative female images they see.
Everyone broke into groups. Spencer marched over to me.
Why do you shut me down every time I open my mouth? I was making good points out there.
I dragged her near the doors out of earshot. Listen, I'm sorry if you felt I cut you off. It's just we have a lot of things planned for tonight and a pretty tight schedule. I do want you to feel like you've got a say, but I need you to follow my lead, okay? Spencer narrowed her eyes.
Aren't we supposed to be doing this together?
Yes, but you need to voice your opinions in a way that's beneficial to the group. No one wants to see the two of us arguing.
Spencer threw her hands up. Fine, Natalie, whatever you want. You call the shots and I'll just stand here and be your bad girl prop.
That's not what's going on. I folded my arms. Why was Spencer making this so difficult? It wasn't all about her.
Well, it sure feels that way, she snapped.
Look, you can lead the next discussion.
Whatever,
she said, then stormed off. I couldn't believe it.
How was it that Spencer didn't see the enormous olive branch I'd just handed to her? What's happening?
Autumn asked. Why are you being mean to Spencer?
I'm not.
I ran my fingers through my hair. Spencer's making a mess of everything. I could have used your help out there, except you were too busy making up with Marcy to notice. Seriously, what was that about?
Honestly, I have no idea.
Autumn sounded genuine.
But I thought this was what you wanted tonight to be.
I sighed because Autumn couldn't understand. She didn't have Miss B breathing down her neck. After a few minutes, Spencer called everyone back to the bleachers. I stood right next to her so I could intervene easily if she got out of line.
Let's start with this picture.
Spencer held up part of a back-to-school pictorial where a sexed-up vamp of a teacher stood on her desk in fishnets and stilettos, with schoolboys cowering in a pile on the floor.
Does anyone have any thoughts?
No one raised their hand, so I stepped up.
I find this picture pretty sexist.
Really?
Spencer asked.
Yes. This woman is clearly being objectified.
But don't you think she has the power in this situation? The boys are literally throwing themselves at her feet, groveling for her attention.
I stared at the picture. Maybe Spencer had a point, but I still said, not really.
See, that's exactly what I mean. Any woman who dares show her sexual power, well, we automatically assume she's being victimized, taken advantage of, when, really, we're the ones in charge.
I pressed my lips together tight. When did the topic of the night become how Spencer had the right to slut it up?
Autumn raised her hand.
What do you mean exactly?
Spencer smiled wryly and began to offer advice to the girls.
It's about confidence, she said. You have to know who you are, what you want, and then use your feminine powers to make boys give it to you.
I groaned.
Come on, Natalie. Haven't you ever felt wanted? Had a guy stare at you so hard he forgets to blink?
I shrugged my shoulders, even though I had, with Connor. But it wasn't something I felt in control of. It was something I tried to ignore.
Spencer went on, talking about how great it is to be in control of your sexuality and to use that power to make guys worship you. Michelle Heller told everyone how she'd gotten a guy to buy her a prom dress because he wanted her to be his date that badly. Spencer had the rest of the girls give Michelle a rousing round of applause. I found a seat in the bleachers and pretended to read some article in one of the magazines no one had bothered to pick up. I was so mad. I couldn't see any of the words, just the white space in between the lines. I realized there was no changing Spencer. I was stupid to try.
Chapter 16. Someone shook me awake.
Natalie?
I opened my eyes and saw Susan Choi kneeling over me.
Yeah?
I asked in a sleepy voice. I wasn't sure what time I fell asleep, but it didn't matter. Technically, it was my job to make sure at least one girl stayed awake through the night, so we'd earn the donations for our all-nighter. Except Spencer had basically railroaded the entire evening. She DJ'd the dance party while I cleaned up the food. She organized a makeover session with everyone's collective makeup, leaving me to pick up used cotton balls and Q-tips. And she held an impromptu photo shoot of girls in their pajamas, for which I was not invited to pose, but to juggle 15 different cell phone cameras. I tried my best to maintain some semblance of control when Miss B came back into the gym, but once she went to lie down, I climbed into my sleeping bag out of protest. Not because the girls' night wasn't a rousing success. It was, but I shared no part in it.
I think Spencer let some of the football boys in school,
Susan whispered. I shot up, fully awake. Other sleeping bodies lay around me, including Autumn, who shared my pillow.
What? When?
Susan made the shh sign.
Just a few minutes ago. I saw Spencer leave first, and then more girls slipped out of the gym one by one.
Where's Miss B?
She's asleep on the couch in the gym office. You'd better get them out of here before she wakes up, Natalie. We'll all be expelled.
I wanted to roll over and let Spencer get in trouble, but I knew I couldn't. If Miss B found out about this, she'd never respect me again, not to mention Principal Hurley. If I screwed this up, there was a real chance I'd get suspended right along with Spencer. The hallways were dark, save for some emergency lights mounted near the stairwells and the blue glow of computer monitors and television screens not turned off for the weekend. It felt scary and dangerous, like a horror movie. I passed through the math wing, moving as carefully and quietly as I could in my slippers, following the laughter and playful screams from the science labs around the bend. Shadows flickered across bulletin boards and rows of lockers, silhouettes of people running around. I turned the corner. A bunch of kids disappeared down the stairs. One large figure, definitely a boy, tucked into the girls' bathroom halfway down the hall. Three girls chased after him. I kicked off my slippers and sprinted toward them as fast as I could, my bare feet smacking the floor. The sound of my pursuit only made them laugh and scream louder. I grabbed one girl by the straps of her cami and pulled her to a stop, even though I feared the whole thing might tear away in my hands.
Hey, careful!
She squealed, all excited and flushed at having been caught. Her face fell when she turned and saw me. Go back to the gym, I told her as sternly as I could. Right now. I prayed she would actually listen to me. The other two girls stopped and gave me sour looks.
They were all prostitutes. One opened her mouth to say something, but I stared her down until it snapped shut.
"Do you really want to get in any more trouble than you already are?"
I asked. The three of them walked dejectedly back toward the gym. I turned back and pulled the bathroom door open. The moon shone brightly through a window, and it gave off just enough light to see Connor Hughes perched up on the radiator in jeans, a worn flannel shirt, and a dark green canvas jacket. He did not expect me to be the one who followed him inside, and he actually looked a little bit scared.
"What are you doing here?"
I hissed.
Connor jumped down. "I forgot a book I needed."
"Save your ridiculous excuses. You guys need to leave right now before we all get expelled."
"Come on, Sterling. We're just having some fun."
I watched him work his moves, the way he stood, so relaxed and casual, the way he smiled at me out of the corners of his mouth. He was confident, completely sure of himself. In that moment, I understood the true power of being a guy like Connor. He could probably talk a girl into anything. Except, there was no way he could talk me out of not throwing him out.
"Connor, I'm serious. You either leave now or I'm getting Miss B."
"You wouldn't do that,"
he said, stepping toward me. I laughed. Did he expect me to faint or something? I took a step toward him, folded my arms, and leaned in.
"Oh, yeah? Try me."
We stared each other down like that for a second, and a strange feeling came over me, starting warm at my toes and spreading up through my body.
"I like your PJs,"
he said.
"Shut up," I said.
He grinned. It made one dimple appear on his left cheek, which looked sandy with stubble.
"You're pretty tough, aren't you, Sterling?"
I liked that Connor called me by my last name. Some girls might have been insulted, because that was more how boys talk to each other, but to me, it was a compliment. And so was the word tough. I wanted to believe that he meant it. He'd said it before, that time on the football bench, but I couldn't figure out why he was telling me now, except to sweet-talk me out of waking Miss B. I needed to show Connor that I wasn't going to fall at his feet like the other girls at school. So I took another step forward and put my hands on my hips.
"You have no idea how tough I am," I said.
He took another step, a big step, closing the gap of air between us. And then he kissed me. He grabbed me and kissed me, and his whole body tensed up. It was a bold move, kissing me without asking first. I couldn't let him get away with it. So, when I felt him pull away, I leaned forward and kissed him harder, camouflaging my inexperience with enthusiasm. This kiss had heat behind it. There was no need to ask for permission. It absolutely had to happen. When we pulled apart, my heart was beating insanely fast. I wanted to kiss him again, but instead I summoned up the words and said, as sternly as I could,
"Now do what I say. Get out of here."
That's when he finally took a step back. I relished the space and felt my body temperature go down.
"Okay,"
he said. Then he walked out. It took me a few seconds to move. When I left the bathroom, Connor was at the end of the hall, rounding up the other guys, telling them,
"Let's go. We're out of here."
Behind me, I heard a door open. I spun and saw Mike Domsky slip out of the science lab and run to catch up with the boys. He had a big, dumb smile on his face.
"See you later, Natalie,"
he called, mocking. I took one last lap around the school and made sure all the hallways were clear. When I came back into the gym, I saw Spencer lying in her sleeping bag with her eyes closed. She was faking, but I didn't say anything. One moment filled up my whole mind, my whole body. I, Natalie Sterling, had just kissed and dismissed Connor Hughes. I felt a strange peace carrying this humongous secret, because I knew that Nobody in the gym would believe it. I couldn't even believe it myself.
Chapter 17. Can I talk to you for a second? Spencer practically accosted me at my locker on Monday morning. I want you to know that I didn't invite those guys to the school. They just showed up. I was trying to get them out. I wouldn't do anything to get you in trouble, Natalie. She put her hand over the Ross Academy crest on her sweater vest. Swearsies. I kept my eye on Spencer. She seemed to be telling the truth. Did Miss B say anything to you? No. Why? Do you think she knows? I had my suspicions. Miss B had been a little cold to me the morning after the sleepover. She seemed way more interested in finding hot water for her tea than in talking to me. Hopefully, her crabbiness had been because she had a bad night's sleep on the gym office couch. I don't think so. Good. Then everything's okay. Spencer smiled. It was kind of exciting, right? It was. Kind of. I began to see Connor way more often. Or maybe I just noticed him more. But after that night in the bathroom, we tended to run into each other a lot. It turned into a game we'd play. In the halls, at the office, in the cafeteria. Connor would look at me and grin, this knowing grin full of mischievousness and secrets, and I'd flat out ignore him. One time, we bumped into each other in the parking lot after school. His frame bulged with his football pads, since he'd just finished up with practice. I had stayed late, working on the Halloween dance decorations and waiting for Autumn, who'd left a book in her locker. Most of the cars that had parked between ours that morning had pulled away, leaving just him and me.
Hey, Sterling,
Connor said. He sat on his bumper and poured Gatorade down his throat, past the lips I had kissed. Despite the grass stains and sweat and dirt, he still looked good. I didn't respond. I could have gotten in my car, but that wouldn't have been fun. So instead, I put my books, one by one, in my trunk.
You coming to the game this Friday?
I turned to face him and had to shield my eyes from the setting sun.
Why would I do that? Because I'm playing,
he said, puffing out his chest.
And anyway, isn't that part of being student council president? You know, to support the athletic teams?
He smiled, thinking he was well on his way to making a convincing argument. It was kind of adorable, really. Because Connor obviously had no clue that I was one of the top debaters at Ross Academy. No matter how he tried to argue his point of view, I was always, always going to have a comeback. That doesn't fall under my job description. Sorry. I said it real sarcastic.
We're 4-1 this year. We've really got a shot at the playoffs.
Good luck with that, I deadpanned. He stood up and walked a few steps toward me.
Come on. Come to the game.
I slammed my trunk. I'm sure you have enough adoring fangirls in the stands. I tried to be smooth, only I dropped my keys on the ground. When I straightened back up, Connor stood practically on top of me.
But I don't like them.
His eyes held mine, and his voice had a funny sound to it, as if he were talking and groaning at the same time. I couldn't exactly tell if he was teasing me or if he was embarrassed by what he just admitted. Either way, I burned. I burned 1,000 degrees. I heard one of the heavy metal school doors swing open. Autumn, my heart caught in my chest. I have to go, I said fast and ducked under Connor's arm. He must have seen Autumn too because he didn't say anything more. He just walked back toward his car. Finding a good Halloween costume proved more of a challenge than tracking down the Holy Grail. And for a place that billed itself a Halloween superstore, the selections were pathetically limited.
I hope we find costumes that work together, Autumn said.
Me too, I said and thought of Marcy Cooperstein. Now that the two of them had buried the hatchet, I wanted to make sure Marcy didn't get any ideas.
Autumn was my best friend, and I wasn't going to let Marcy weasel her way back in. Autumn forgave her, but that didn't mean they could pick up where things had left off before the whole fish sticks thing. Autumn said,
"It's kind of crazy that we've never gone to one single dance together. I mean, it's not like we're homeschooled or something."
Autumn's breakup with Chad had happened right before the Halloween dance, when we were freshmen, so of course we avoided it. The following years, it seemed like a weird anniversary, remembering everything that had happened, so we'd always done our own thing.
"I wouldn't get too excited about this dance," I said.
She got pouty.
"Why?"
"Well, I don't want you to set yourself up for disappointment. I mean, how great could a school dance really be? We're still going to be in the gym, where we've all sweated and done crunches and it smells like feet. Not to mention that running a dance is a ton of work on top of all my regular obligations."
"You're such a downer, Natalie."
Ever since the girls' night, Autumn had been acting different. Happier, I guess. I knew I should have been glad about this, but for whatever reason, it gave me a bad feeling.
"I don't see any adult costumes," I said, turning the corner on another aisle. "Everything's for kids."
"Not everything," Autumn said.
She stood in front of a beaded curtain and pulled her hand across it as if it were an oversized guitar she could strum. Pink fluorescent light poured from the room. I followed Autumn inside.
"Okay," I said warily. "I think you found the adult section."
Autumn looked over the racks.
"So, are you looking for something more of a French maid, or maybe..."
She started laughing so hard she could barely breathe.
"What?"
I asked. She pulled a rainbow-colored tube dress from off the rack and held it up to herself.
"Slutty clown? Who would buy this?"
I bit my finger.
"Ringling Brothers says I'm a very bad girl."
We spent the next 10 minutes cracking ourselves up over these stupid costume choices, which were either confusingly slutty or completely androgynous. A bunch of other shoppers got annoyed. In their defense, we were being really loud. Only, I didn't care. It felt like old times, when Autumn and I could be silly with reckless abandon. I wasn't any closer to finding a costume, though, and that pissed me off.
"Great," I said.
"So I can either be a whore nurse or some disgusting cow with big plastic pink udders."
"Wait a minute. This one is actually kind of cute."
Autumn held up a dress shimmering with blue and green and white iridescence. It looked a bit clingy, but at least it was long, stretching all the way to the floor.
"Game show hostess?" I guessed.
"Nope."
Autumn plopped a long blonde wig on her head and wrapped a black shawl around her shoulders. It was a loose net with plastic pink starfish and green seahorses glued on.
"It's a mermaid costume. What do you think? It's cute, right?"
"Autumn..."
I didn't know how to finish. Honestly, I shouldn't have had to finish. It was so apparent.
"Okay,"
she said in a sour voice and hung it back up.
"Never mind." I felt terrible, but why was Autumn trying to make me feel bad for pointing out the obvious? What kind of friend would I be if I let Autumn wear that costume, especially since she was so desperate to have a good time at the dance? It'd be like walking into the lion's den wearing a suit made of steaks.
"Forget this place," I said.
"Let's make our own costumes. It'll be fun." "But you're so busy with student council stuff," she pointed out. "You won't have time. We've barely hung out since the election, and the dance is next week."
I was annoyed because this was my very concern in September, and was why I'd wanted Autumn to think about being vice president with me. But it was too late for any of that now.
"I'll make time," I told her. "I promise."
"So... what should we be? Can we still try to make the joint costumes work?"
I said yes, and I meant it, at least until we were on the way out of the costume shop, and I saw brown,
fake leather pilot's hat and a pair of big black goggles. I knew immediately I wasn't going to be slutting it up or dumbing myself down this Halloween. I was going to be Amelia Earhart. Chapter 18. When I stepped through the doors of the gym on Halloween night, I could barely believe how awesome it looked. I mean, it had looked good when I'd finished decorating after school, but everything was way better in the dark. The bleacher railings were covered in spider webs. The cardboard gravestones we'd made last week actually appeared real in the low light. Pumpkins cordoned off the dance floor from the rest of the gym, and the DJ we'd hired brought lots of flashing lights and a smoke machine. The whole room was misty. You couldn't see the lines on the floor or the gym mats or anything. Autumn came running up to me.
"You're finally here!"
I couldn't believe my eyes. Autumn was wearing the mermaid costume from the Halloween shop. Before I could even come up with something to say, she wrapped me in a big hug. Well, as much of a big hug as she could manage, considering that I was standing inside a cardboard airplane that hung from my shoulders by a pair of twine suspenders.
"Your costume looks amazing, by the way. I can't believe you made it."
"Not without a price." I held up my hand and showed Autumn how raw the sides of my fingers were from cutting through the cardboard with a dull pair of scissors. Aside from my injury, I loved my Amelia Earhart costume. I had on the cream-colored silk blouse I bought to wear for college interviews and a pair of brown pants tucked into my leather riding boots. I'd curled the ends of my hair and pinned it all up so it looked like a bob. And the pilot hat and goggles looked great. But the plane made moving around a little unwieldy. I should have made my wingspan a little less broad.
"I ran out of time to make something," Autumn admitted, looking down at her slinky gown.
"Oh." I didn't know what she wanted me to say. She already knew I thought it was a bad idea. Autumn leaned in close to my face. Her eyes got wide.
"Do you have makeup on?"
I shrugged my shoulders. Autumn's excitement embarrassed me. "Just lipstick. Amelia would have worn it, so I borrowed a little bit from my mom for authenticity's sake." It wasn't true. Amelia was known for being almost androgynous, but I'd enjoyed putting the cherry red color and then carefully blotting my lips on a square of toilet paper, leaving a kiss behind. I'd never worn lipstick before. Burt's Bees, sure, but nothing so dramatic. I couldn't help but wonder if Connor would notice.
"I can't believe all these people are dancing!"
I shouted over the pulsing music. A big mob of kids undulated up and down together.
"I know! And it's not just the girls. Even some of the football guys are out there."
So the football boys had come. I wasn't sure if school dances would be cool enough for them. They were probably just there for the hoagies. I wanted to see what Connor's costume was, if he'd even bothered to dress up. Autumn took my hand and dragged me away from the wall and deeper into the gym. I looked around, but because of the lights and the smoke and the costumes, I had a hard time making anyone out.
"Do you want to get something to drink?"
I shouted over the music. She nodded, and together we walked over to the refreshment table. That's where all the teachers were standing in costume. Principal Hurley looked totally appropriate in army fatigues and shiny black lace-up boots. The only teacher without a costume was Miss B, and even though it made everyone else around her look kind of stupid, I felt a little sad for her. Like, for some reason, Miss B couldn't dress up, even if she wanted to. Her eyes lit up when she saw me.
"Oh, Natalie, I absolutely love your costume. Promise me you'll let me take a photo with you before the night is over."
Her smile dropped to a frown as her eyes went over my shoulder. "I only wish other girls would follow your lead. Principal Hurley and I discussed the possibility of imposing a costume dress code for next year's dance." I turned and saw Spencer. I'd sort of expected her costume would be over the top, and sure enough,
She had transformed herself into a slutty construction worker. But her costume didn't look cheap and plasticky, like the kind of prepackaged outfits they sold in the back room of a Halloween shop. It was well-made, obviously one of her dance costumes from an old routine. It dawned on me that Spencer's closet was probably a Halloween treasure trove. Her outfit consisted of a skin-tight little denim mini-dress cut to look like a pair of overalls. She had a tight white cami on underneath, and the whole thing fit her like a corset, her boobs bubbling up over the top. The skirt stopped right underneath her butt cheeks, and when she dipped and bent to the music, you got flashes of a pair of electric orange booty shorts. A cropped mesh vest, reflective orange, hung over her shoulders like a shrug. She had on a hard hat and a tool belt full of plastic toy tools. And who knows where she got these. It was all topped off by a pair of Timberland-style lace-up high-heeled boots. She really, truly looked like a stripper. And she really, truly didn't care. She danced between two of the football players. One was Mike Domsky, dressed in a black-and-white striped jailbird outfit with a broken set of handcuffs twirling around his wrist. You could tell Mike was totally into Spencer. He wouldn't take his eyes off her. And the other guy making the Spencer sandwich, Paul Zedd,